And welcome to episode 229 of Taking the Charge Podcast with you from Regensburg, Germany. I'm David Hein of Hein News. Thank you for stopping by. Another week has gone. Yes, lots of stuff going on. I guess I have a little bit more time to talk about it today. But we'll see. Actually, I'm going to do two interviews this week. Figured I'd get them both in there. Both of them are over 20 minutes, they kind of go into two different directions. So I figured maybe see if I can get them both on there. And I don't plan on talking too long, so the podcast won't be there. Probably a shade over an hour, but that's okay. That's okay. Podcasts. You can always fast forward if you don't like the interview, but the interviews are both really good. That's why I want to have them on there. So if you want to reach out to the show, the best way is to contact me at Hein News on Twitter, HEINNEWS. There's also the Facebook group, Taking the Charge Podcast. Just put Taking the Charge Podcast in the Facebook group, in the search bar at the top, and you'll find the Facebook group, Taking the Charge Podcast. You can also check out HeinNews.com, and you can rate and review the show on iTunes. The email address, HeinNews@gmx.de. You can go to Patreon and Patreon.com/TakingTheCharge, all one word, and you can donate to the show. All those wonderful ways to get in contact. So reach out and let us know how you think we're doing. I really haven't been watching too much. Senior basketball. I noticed that the international there's a West Asian basketball association. Qualifiers for FIBA Asia Cup going on right now. Jordan, Iran, etc. That's going on right now. So you go over to FIBA.com and follow that. Sorry about that. You can also, NBA. I think it's going to start getting interesting. You know, trade deadline's coming up, and I don't want to talk too much about stuff like LeBron and Barkley and I'm just not following the NBA enough to really say too much about it. So I'm just going to leave that for other podcasts. You guys don't come to this podcast necessarily for me to talk about LeBron and Charles Barkley. So we'll leave that to others. EuroLeague. I think I said it already, maybe last week or whatever. But man, it's hard to. For me, at least, it's hard to follow when there's games or not. You know, okay, Thursday, Friday, you can assume there's going to be games. And I haven't been to a game in a while because the Adidas Next Generation tournaments. I was in Samsung for the under-18 European Championship, so that was in December. Then I was in Hospitalet for the Adidas Next Generation tournament, and Kaunas for the Adidas Next Generation tournament. And now, since I've been back in Kaunas, home from Kaunas. I was doing the African Cup of Nations soccer, football. So every day, then I got sick. I was going to try to go down to see a Bayern NBBL game, Pro B game. And, that was on Monday, and then I was sick. And so there's no way I was going to do that. And, so I haven't been to a Bamberg game for quite a while. There's a game tomorrow night. I think it's Maccabi. And it'd be cool to go up there, but Africa Nations Cup of Nations is the semifinals tomorrow as well, tonight and tomorrow. For those who might be wondering, tonight is Burkina Faso against Egypt and Ghana against Cameroon. Both interesting, pretty interesting matches. I know you don't want to come. You didn't come to this podcast for Africa soccer either. Africa basketball maybe, but not Africa soccer. I haven't been to a game in ages. I missed the last week. There was the Bamberg. Hey, you know what, man? Bamberg home game against quote home game against Real Madrid. They went to Nuremberg to play. Nuremberg, man. For those who don't know, Nuremberg is like a good. It's a good half hour for those Bamberg fans. So you know. It's a home game, but it wasn't a home game, you know. I mean, you know, it's not Freak City and all this other stuff, and you know, just another dagger, man, another dagger in the hearts of the Bamberg fans, man. And they lost at the buzzer, basically the buzzer. There was a layup by Sergio Lula, and that was the game. They lost another one. You go back 5, 6, 7 years now, even, and you know, there's been so many. High level games, great opponents, where, you know, they've lost at the buzzer. I tell you what, it's not easy being a Bamberg fan outside of Germany. Germany, obviously, the club and all this other stuff, but man, outside of Germany with the things that they've gone through, you know, respect to those guys. Yeah, so I haven't been to a game, and so let's see here. I don't know if I'm going to get to a game in a while, because got the Adidas Next Generation not this weekend, but next weekend, the 9 to 12, and that's 9 to 12, that's in coin, and then I don't really have a, I'm trying to see if I have a yearly game. I don't even have a yearly game until maybe Bamberg yearly. There we go. Bamberg Fenerbahce back out on finally on March 16th. That would be the first. That'll be the first one. Two games within a week. So. That, unfortunately. So where was I going? I just haven't been watching much of it, just because don't have that time and haven't been able to get to it, the games. But I have been spending some time. This summer is the under 16 Continental Championships around the world. So you know, those are the qualifiers for the under 17 World Championship. And I'm trying to get to know a little bit more about the under 16 teams. This year, so 2001 generation. So I've been watching quite a bit of the youth stuff online. There was the I can't remember, Zent István Basketball Cup in Hungary. The FIBA Europe Cup Club, Alba whatever it was, not the Berlin Alba Berlin, but the Alba Fener. Whatever club, sorry for Hungarian fans, and they were hosting it, and it was an under 17 tournament. They had 2000s there, so but you know there's some good 2001s there to check out. You had Barcelona, Real Madrid, Stella Zura, Cibona, Bayern, Partizan. You want to watch those games? All those games are available on YouTube. You go to Sport Opus, Sport OUPUS 1. If you put that in there, you can get that. All those games all those games on demand in YouTube. Lots of interesting kids. That final is definitely worthwhile watching it. Stella Zura. You got Pauli Boa, 2000 born, Cameroonian. Man, he's only been playing basketball for 2 years. He's going to be really good. Lazar Nikolic, Real Madrid, unfortunately Usman Garuba didn't go there. But you had Kareem Kwili, the British kid. You had Golden Dyke. You had Amar Sylla, long Senegalese, 2001 born. Real interesting kid. Remind me of the Senegalese kid from the sorry about that. I'm still a little bit sick. Remind me a little bit of the kid at I should probably find out what his name is again. At Herbalife Gran Canaria, the Senegalese kid. I'm looking it up. So yeah, wishing. You know, it was, you know, you had 2000s there. So in theory, Pekarski could have gone, but he didn't go. He still hasn't played. He still has not played for Bayern Munich. And something tells me he's not going to be playing until the Adidas Next Generation tournament. And just hope he can play at the Adidas Next Generation tournament, because he has not played a game yet for Bayern. What was I doing? I was looking for the yeah. So yeah, it was good. Good basketball to watch. Fun. Some good kids. The final was really good. So go there, check that out. There's also, today's actually the day off, so you can't go and watch any of the games today. And they're not available on demand either. That's the TBF U16 in Konya in Turkey. And you know, that tournament kind of got a hit by four teams pulling out: France, Germany, Serbia, and Slovenia. And sorry about that. And that took a big hit. You know, their top teams now are Lithuania and Turkey. I mean, that's truly 2001. That's under 16. Those are only 2001s and younger. Turkey have a U16 and U15 team there. Lithuania have a lot of interesting kids. Surprise, surprise. Lithuania have some interesting talent. But at least according to the – or at least what it looks like on the screen, on the look a little bit longer than they've been in the past, a couple of the kids. So that's a good team. And, you know, it's hard because, especially since you have to watch them live, and you know, you can go a little bit. I think there's 15 minute, you know, it's basically, you could go back 15 minutes. So, you know, you can watch a little bit of, you know, you don't have to watch it live, but, still, you know, you have to be watching it. And, there's other stuff, and you know, I don't really want to watch too much of Georgia, Ukraine, Bulgaria. Argentina was pretty interesting. There's a couple of kids on that team that you know, they look pretty interesting. Tomas Chaparro, what's his name? Bautista Lugriani, I think his name is. So go back to Bakabar Fam, the thin, slender Senegalese kid from Gran Canaria, Las Palmas, Herbalife. So yeah, I've been watching those, and yeah, Lithuania. I'd say Lithuania a good chance of going to the World Championship next year for sure, under 17s. Argentina. So Argentina played two games against Madrid clubs. They played Real Madrid, and then they played Estudiantes. Then he went to Serbia, I think, played the Serbian under 16 national team twice, and then went to this tournament, and they're going to play seven more games. So that's 11 games in, I think, 15 days. So those guys are going to be gassed, but those guys are going to be super well prepared for the under 16 FIBA Americas under 16 championship later on this year. So. Yeah, I guess that's about it. Germany, the German league. I guess I really haven't given you an update on the German league very much. When Oz was on, we talked a lot about the German league. Bamberg, well, Ulm is still leading in the league, undefeated at 18-0. For those who might not have realized, Felix Hagen went bankrupt and was banished from the league. So there's only 17 teams right now in the league. And so Ulm is on top at 18-0. Game back is Bamberg, and Bamberg's only loss was in Ulm, and pretty handily in Ulm. And then you Bayern are third. I think they have three or four losses. Three losses, four losses then is Medi Bayreuth. And just a half game behind them is Alba Berlin, who have figured things out and are playing really, really well right now. 10 wins in a row. And, yeah, I'd say that maybe, you know, Oldenburg, just because they're always kind of up there. They've not lost in 2017. They're 8-0 this year in the domestically and internationally. So Rostov Echta looks like right now still, you know, they've had a couple of given up some double digit leads, and but they've only won once this year, 1-18 I think it is. But they're only two games behind the 16th place team. So if they could somehow grab those two wins, Tübingen is the team that's at 3-16. So they're 3-16, 3-15, 3-16, I think is what they're at. So yeah, that's the German league. Yeah, I guess let's go to the interviews since I don't really have too much more else that I want to talk about right now. I think not next week, but the week after, we'll have the draw for the under 19 World Championship in Cairo. So we'll have that to, I could talk about that next, in 2 weeks time. To the interviews, let's start with Ben Magin, who, you know, how's this for a story? Was a 30-year-old rookie in Europe who came from Australia, basically became one of the best players in the Australian NBL, and said, "I want to try something new. I want to take a new challenge." And came over to Europe, went to Belgium, and then now he's up at Panevėžys in Lithuania playing EuroCup. And so that first interview is with him. Ben Magin, and we'll catch you on the other side of that. All right, so Ben Magin, here we go. Magin, right?
Yeah, Magin, that's it. Okay. Good work. Most people butcher it.
I saw somewhere Madge.
That's a nickname.
I figured so that's probably...
It's easy if you just add an N to the...
But you probably hear a bunch of Magden and stuff like that, right? No, Madgen and stuff like that.
Yeah, all the time. Even they put G before the D on the scoreboard sometimes.
Well, thank you for taking some time. I guess.
Yeah, no problem.
I guess first of all, you guys have qualified for the next round of the Euro Cup, going. In from Group A, have already locked up a spot in the next stage. Maybe just talk about thoughts about that. You know, it's been a fight in the group, and with Cedevita and Las Palmas being, you know, pretty good teams. In general, maybe thoughts about the group there and getting through it.
Yeah, well, it's a very exciting time for, you know, the playing group, the coaching staff, and definitely the club, for the first time to qualify for the second round. And, you know, there was a bit of a change at the start of the year with Athens and another team pulling out, a few changes to the group, but we knew that we'd have a good chance. We felt very confident in our team that we could make the second round, and to wrap it up, early qualify was great, but you know, we feel like we're not done yet. We have Gran Canaria tomorrow night, who's a very, very strong team, so we're looking to, you know, play well against them and try and beat them, and we've had some really close games, you know, against Cedevita, and we were able to split with them and the Russian team Nizhny You know, two close losses, one on the buzzer, and then we lost by two at their place. So we've been playing well, but definitely some things that we need to work on going into the second round, because, you know, it's only going to get harder from here, and especially the teams that are still in this competition. We're really looking forward to seeing who we match up against in the second round. And so far, the Euro Cup's lived up to all the expectations that I thought, and you know, the competition's amazing, and to be able to travel around Europe and play some of the best local European players and also some of the best imports in Europe has been, you know, a dream come true for me. And to be able to play at a good level with these guys is what I came from Australia to Europe to be able to do, and to prove myself that I could play on this level.
Come back to that in a little bit. Maybe you know, you had you mentioned the close games. The first game was also nail biter with Skopje coming back. And then you know, you've also had a couple of, you know, pretty close games in the Lithuanian league as well. How much will including the 2-point loss to Letros Ritos pretty early in the year. How much do those close games help you guys, you know, in you know, both positively, you know, getting the result, and then also going through that experience, you know, going through those tight games? How much has that helped you?
Yeah, I think we've a pretty veteran team and a lot of experience, so we've been able to do pretty well in the close games, especially down the stretch. But I think when you win, you know, everything's great, no matter how much you win by. But the close losses can also really benefit you in the long run for the season, because, you know, when you lose, you really look back at the game and the mistakes that you made and try and rectify them. And I think we've been able to do that. You know, we've closed out some games against some really good teams like Zagros, who were able to win in a close one. And then, like you said, in the Lithuanian league, every team's very tough, and we've been able to win a lot of close games this season. We're a bit disappointed in losing some of the close ones in the Euro Cup, but like you said, we have also won a couple of close ones. So, yeah, we don't seem to be blowing teams out too often, but you know, it's building character within the team, and, you know, really, if we do lose, we're able to, you know, go to the training practice field and being able to rectify our mistakes and try and do better next time.
Let's go a little bit, go back a little bit to before last season. You know, it's not every time, you know, it's not every year that we see here in Europe I guess you were 30-year-old rookie, is that right? Playing Europe for the first time. Go back to that whole decision. You know, I mean, a lot has been written about it, and you know, going back and you know, go back a little bit and think about reflect on that a little bit, and maybe kind of talk us through that whole decision process. I know it hadn't been, you know, all of a sudden thing. I know you had been, you know, you had been with Kings for 5 years and were kind of, you know, proving yourself as one of the top players in the NBL, and, you know, kind of wanted to take that next challenge. But just kind of like talk through that decision and maybe where it kind of came from.
Yeah, well, I'd been playing in the NBL, like you said, for the Kings for 5 years, and I was a captain for 3 years, and felt like I'd become a premier player in that competition, and I really wanted to challenge myself again, you know, like I did coming out of college and playing professionally in Australia. So I thought the next step for me was to challenge myself in Europe, and I would have come earlier. Like, I had a contract for Fenerbahce in the ACB for after one of the seasons with the Kings, but I got injured with the last game to go in that season. And I had a couple of other potential deals after the season, but it didn't quite work out. So I opted out of my contract with the Kings and thought, you know what, I'll just jump straight into it and, you know, see what happens. And it was a bit of a daunting decision at the time, because I was in a very comfortable position in Sydney, and I really enjoy it there. But I thought professionally and with my wife, we really wanted to travel and I wanted to challenge myself, you know, with my basketball. So we decided, you know, let's just go for the full season and not the end of a European season. And that's when I signed in Belgium. I was advised, you know, it's a good league to be able to showcase your talents, and it's fairly similar to the Australian league, as it's a bit more fast paced than some of the other European leagues. And you know, that worked out really well. I was able to lead the league in scoring there. And then I really came to Europe to fully challenge myself against the best players and the best teams. So I wanted to play on a Euro Cup or Euro League team, and obviously Euro League is extremely hard to get into, especially for an import. So I thought realistically Euro Cup would be better for me, and waited the summer, knocked back, you know, a fair few offers, and sometimes thinking, oh, maybe, you know, I knocked back too many. But I really had one goal in mind, and that was to play in the Euro Cup. And, you know, only for my second year in Europe, I was quite proud to be able to get on a good team, and a team to qualify for second round to play more games in Euro Cup is even better.
What kind of transition do you think there was? I mean, you mentioned that the game was kind of up-paced in Belgium, but maybe as far as rules go, as far as physicality, as far as whatever, you know, what kind of differences did you have in the game? You know, I mean, obviously there's a lot of people come from the States and have their difficulties with travel rule and whatnot. And, but in general, what were some of the biggest transition problems, or, you know, whatever minor difficulties that you had?
Mm. I think in Belgium, because, you know, there was 5-6 imports on every team, it was pretty fast-paced and similar to Australia, and I didn't have that much trouble adjusting. I mean, yeah, I got called for a few travels at first, but, you know, I worked really hard on trying to adapt my game to be able to fit the European, you know, the open step, how you have to dribble before you take that step and things like that. So I didn't find that too hard, and the game plan that the coaches used was pretty free-flowing. In Lithuania, it was a bit more structured than I'd ever played before on this team, so I really had to adapt my game. You know, I used to get in transition a lot and push the ball and be, you know, super aggressive offensively. But on this team, you know, we all play, main players play about 20 minutes a game, and very high intensity defensively. And offensively, you know, we structure and we run our plays and our sets well. And so I think that's something that, you know, it was a big adjustment period for me. It's something that I'm very proud of, to be able to being able to adjust to different style of play, different philosophy, and to be successful. So I'm really enjoying, you know, the challenge of it all. And I think that this year was more of an adjustment period than my first year in Belgium.
And also the added pressure of being only one of two imports, I would imagine, as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel much pressure. The coaching staff and my teammates are great. And I feel like I'm, you know, playing my role and what's asked of me. So I'm just enjoying the experience. And, you know, if you start thinking about the pressure side of it, I think you can get caught up in the wrong thing. So I feel like I'm playing the best defense of my career this year, and more of a all-round game. You know, I've been a scorer my whole career, but this year I feel like, you know, defensively and of a facilitator as well as scoring. So I feel like I've really improved a lot as a player this season.
All right, the tough question. How difficult is it to determine the difference between Tarjas and Kristoff?
Well, at first I really, really struggled. But there's a few differences, like Darius's nose is a bit more crooked than Kristoff's. I think it's been broken a few times, and Kristoff has got the arm tattoo. But yeah, we get along really well, and they're great guys to have around in the change room. You know, always cracking jokes, and they're very competitive on the floor, which is great. But off the floor, you know, they're nice guys, and we hang out, and we're able to, you know, build a friendship pretty quickly.
How many times though have you passed to the wrong to one thinking that he does that thing, and the other one, and it's actually the other one?
Yeah, well, when I first got here, and we run a play called One Down, and you got to go to a post. You come out under the basket to one side, and both big men are on either block. And the coach would be yelling out one of their names, just say Christoph. And I'd be standing under the basket trying to look at both of them, having no idea which way I'm going to run. So I would just take a guess, and then I'd just hear from the sideline, "That's Darius." So so it took me a little while to adjust to which one I was passing to. But, yeah, now I can tell easily, so it's good.
And maybe, I mean, obviously, you know, you had so much experience then down in Sydney, but, you know, playing, you know, with guys like that who've, you know, been at the, you know, the national team level and done so much, you know, how much has that helped you?
Yeah, I mean, they're very professional guys. I always pride myself when trying to get to training the earliest and leave the latest, but those guys are always doing recovery, and they're always in, you know, stretching or you know, getting a massage or doing something for their body, which is being a credit to them and why they've lasted so long. Like a big man still playing at a higher level at 37, 38 years old is a credit to how well they've looked after themselves. But just the experience as well, I think. You know, like I said, they're very competitive, and at first, you know, sometimes they can come across as a bit aggressive when they're talking, but now we really talk, you know, properly to each other, and we talk through situations. And I think, you know, their experience and the way that they're able to send a message to teammates and talk through different situations is really valuable for our team, and something that we can, you know, keep going to that fountain of knowledge when we get in, you know, tough situations, or you know, we need a score or we need a defensive stop, because obviously they've been all over the world and they know all the different philosophies, and it's great to be able to talk to them and pick their brain and learn from them.
When did you mentioned that there was the Fuenlabrada and offer? Do you remember when that was?
Yeah, just before I came to Belgium. So it was just
the season before that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I was about to jump on a plane, and then
so that was 14-15 season.
Yes, end of 14-15.
Okay,
but yeah, it would have been the end of their season.
It would have been the end of the 14-15 season here in Europe.
Yes.
Okay. Who were some of the guys that you talked about? You know, obviously there's a few Australians over here in Europe, and we'll come back to that as well. But who were some of the guys that you talked to? I know that you know, Shane Heal was mentioned as one of the guys that that kind of helped push you in your decision. But who were some of the guys that you talked to as far as, you know, what to expect, or you know, maybe what direction, whatever to look for here in Europe?
Yeah, I think Shane was definitely a big mentor. We've gone to Europe and pushed me a lot, and we did a lot of work on my skill set to be able to, you know, adjust easily to the European game, even in Australia. So I think he was probably the number one guy that I used to help me, and he played at some clubs over here as well. And also early in my career, Mark Dickel, he played for UNLV College, and then I think he played Fenerbahce for a couple of seasons. He played a lot of big clubs in Europe, and I was a rookie in Sydney, and he was, you know, he really put the idea of Europe into my mind and how that should be my main goal. And yeah, ever since, you know, he pushed me my rookie year, I always had that dream to eventually come over and challenge myself. So yeah, each off season, I was working towards getting better and better to be able to come over at the right time. And, you know, some people think 30s, you know, are pretty late to come over, but I feel my body feels fantastic. And, you know, I touch wood, don't have any niggles or injuries. And, you know, I still feel young. I feel like I've got a lot more years in me.
Hey, having short seasons over there too in Sydney doesn't hurt it either.
Yeah, exactly.
Being someone who wakes up early, I've had the opportunity to actually watch a lot of the NBL this year. It's a pretty exciting league. Is that something you're doing as well? Obviously, with a couple of products, there's the NBL package, and there's also live basketball TV. How much of the NBL are you watching, and what do you think of that?
Yeah, I watch a couple of games a week, actually. You know, with the league pass or the live pass I've got there. I at least probably catch 2 to 3 games a week, and I think the competition is just getting better and better. And you know, when I first came into the league, it was, you know, a bit of out of sight, out of mind attitude with the public. But now, you know, you look and most of the stadiums are pretty packed, so it's been really exciting. And the caliber of imports I've been able to bring in have just, you know, been great for the league, and getting guys back like Dave Anderson and Brad Newley and top European players like that have, you know, only bolstered the league as well. And I think it's an exciting style of game as well. It's pretty fast paced and good to watch, and I think it's going from strength to strength. And you know, I think it's great to be able to you know, play in Australia for the local players, but also for imports coming over. And you see now guys like second round draft picks coming over and playing well, like James Ennis, and then making the NBA the next season. So I think we're going to be able to keep attracting really top quality imports. And obviously the short season helps, because then guys can go and play in Europe as well, so they get the best of both worlds.
I mean, heck, you're even getting guys that don't even go to college instead, you know, with Terrence Ferguson.
Yeah.
You know, that's obviously good for the publicity as well, huh?
Mm. And I think, you know, with the style of game is more similar to the NBA, where it's not as structured and as some European leagues are. So,
and colleges, too. You know, have a lot of freedom.
Pardon?
And then colleges as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And also language, you know, same English language is always helpful, especially, you know, with Terrence, he's only 18 years old. It's a big transition going to a foreign country, but if they speak the same language and it's pretty laid-back culture, I think it's a pleasant place for an import to play.
You're from Adelaide, right? So
Yeah.
And him being down there, you think that's a good location for him too?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty, like, I think it's about 1.1 million people, but it's a big country town, in my opinion. It's pretty slow paced, and, you know, you can stay out of trouble there and just really work on basketball, and they have a great following there from the community. And Joey Wright, the coach, obviously being American as well, has got a help in as well. So I think he's in a good situation. And I wish him all the best that, you know, he can have a good season and learn a lot about playing in the pros and make the NBA next season.
What kind of goals do you have over here in Europe? I know with the reports that, you know, when you were talking about coming over here, you said, yeah, I want to, you know, go over there for a few years and come back to Australia and probably go back to Sydney. But what kind of... you know, what kind of goals do you have over here?
Well, my main goal was definitely to play in Euro Cup level. I really wanted to play against the best teams that I could and the best players that I could. So this is a huge bucket list for my career to be able to tick off this season. But in terms of the future, I'm really playing it by ear. I just try to take it week by week and play the best I can, you know, in the Lithuanian League and also the Euro Cup. And at the end of the season, be able to sit down with my wife and agent and, you know, make a decision on where we would like to go next. But we really love being in Europe and, you know, immersing ourselves in different cultures and living in different parts of the world. Like, I didn't think I would be living in Eastern Europe for a year, but we're really enjoying it. And who knows where we're going to be next year. But also with the NBL short season, being able to play in the NBL and then come and play back in Europe. You know, the Spanish league doesn't finish till I think June or July, and if the NBL finishes in February, you can, you know, still get 4 months of European basketball as well. So really couldn't tell you either way what we're going to do, but I think you know, whichever decision we make at the end of the season, we'll be happy with after, you know, being able to play in the Euro Cup this season. But I would really like to, you know, keep playing in this competition because it's so strong and such a great challenge.
That first game of the season for you, actually, if I'm not mistaken, this year, you got to play against Brock Modum.
Yeah.
First game in Lithuania, and you go up against your countrymen. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, two Aussies in Lithuania is pretty cool, especially playing against each other. And right now, you know, they're top and West second, so hopefully we get to play them, you know, at the end of the year as well for the championship. But that first game, I think, was really special for us. And us being able to beat Zagros too was pretty amazing feat. But yeah, I know Brock really well. We roomed together for about a month when we were with the national team a couple of years ago. So we became close and he's doing really well. I'm super excited to watch him in the EuroLeague each week. He's putting up some great performances and it's really, you know, top to see. And a fellow Aussie doing so well.
And you got bragging rights for now.
Yeah, only for now. We'll see. We still got to play him three more times.
Yeah, yep, yep. And I guess probably the other big name out here is Brokoff over at Lokomotiv, yep. Right?
Yeah.
You don't think you run into him, right? Because you're not doing VTB at all, right?
No, not VTB, but they're still in Euro Cup second round as well. So we could possibly meet him, you know, in the second or later on, but. Last year to watch him in the EuroLeague Final Four, that made the interest for me go up a lot to be able to see him, you know, play so well in that competition against, you know, definitely the best guys in Europe. That was very special. So, yeah, he's doing well and continuing to help that team.
Why not? I saw that you was it you who convinced your sister to come to Europe then as well? Your sister's come over to Poland. Did you have a word with that, and or did she kind of approach you and say, "Hey, what do you think?"
Yeah, we always talk about basketball and our careers together, but that was always a goal for her as well. And I think she was kind of in the same predicament as me, where you've been playing against the same people in the Australian League for, you know, a few years, and you really need a new challenge to keep it fresh. And you know, her going to Poland and doing so well in a tough league there, I think, is credit to her. And yeah, she's definitely a good player, and I think, you know, she'll be at a very club next year. But yeah, she's doing well, and she's enjoying the experience. And she had little break over the Eurobasket qualifiers, and she was able to drive and spend some time with us. So that was really cool to see her, you know, on the other side of the world.
I was going to say, this is probably the closest you've been to her for a while, right?
Definitely.
Because she was in Melbourne and you were in Sydney, so.
Yeah, and that's even further away than the 600 kilometers it is to Lublin.
Exactly.
Where she's now.
And when is Jack coming over?
Yeah, that's probably the next one that's coming. He's actually a development player with Cairns, Taipans in the NBL this season. But yeah, I just talked to him the other day, and he was talking about seeing how, you know, if he can get a contract in Australia, which is pretty hard for young guys, you know, up and coming guys now, because there's limited spots. But he would, you know, would love to play in a league in Europe. So there could be three of us next season.
World Cup, is that something that you're thinking at all about? I know you were close to trying to get into the Olympic side. World Cup 2019, you'll be, whatever, I guess 34, somewhere by then?
Yeah.
Is that something you're really shooting for?
Well, I feel like I'm, you know, constantly improving on my game, and you just never know which direction the coaching staff of the Boomers is going to go with. You know, they might want to go with a young team, or they want to mix it up with some experience. So if I get called upon, I definitely put my hand up. It's always, you know, a dream to represent your country at any level, so especially a World Cup. So if it worked out, it'd be fantastic. But you know, each season I concentrate on, you know, that season, and at the end of the last game, then, you know, you get the call if you made the score or not. So, you know, fingers crossed, but you never know.
Yeah, for sure. I saw, I think it was back in the, was it Augusta State? Is that right?
Yeah.
Augusta State profile, yeah, that you enjoy some surfing.
Yeah, that was a bit of a G-up, actually, because I don't surf that much, but the reporter went with it. Okay. He made this huge article about how I was this crazy surfer. So my family actually died laughing when they read that article.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, I like to I love the beach, and I love, you know, getting out and trying to surf, but I'm definitely not a surfer.
Actually, I have
even though I'm Australian.
Actually, I have down here a beach guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Has that been kind of tough, being in pretty, you know, almost in Germany and being really in landlocked middle of Lithuania after being in Sydney for so long?
It's definitely something I miss, you know, after practicing.
Even Georgia, Sydney. Augusta was Georgia, right? Was that?
Yeah.
How far was that from the coast?
It was a good 5-6 hour drive to Florida to get to the beach. So it was, kind of one off spring break type trips. But yeah, that's definitely something I miss. And, you know, at Sydney after practice, I always used to go for recovery sessions. I just go for a swim, lay on the beach, and it's a great lifestyle. But I'm also really enjoying, you know, the cold where there's snow everywhere. I have never had a, you know, white Christmas before, so it's usually about 30 degrees. So it's all part of the experience, and that's why we wanted to do something different, to experience different cultures and different a way of life. So, yeah, I'm not regretting, you know, just missing the beach at all.
Yeah. I saw another thing, a message of hope. Is that something that you're still doing?
Yeah, well, I tried to keep that going, but it was pretty hard being so far away to organize. But as soon as I get back, whether I'm playing or I retire in Europe, you know, after a few years, that's definitely something that I want to keep doing. And I'd really love to do it in Europe as well. But I found it a bit harder to facilitate. But yeah, it's something I'm passionate about, you know, helping the community and especially children, you know, that are sick and battling, you know, different conditions, to be able to put a smile on their face was something that used to bring me so much joy, and to be able to bring, you know, families and kids so much joy as well when I was in Sydney. So I think it's definitely a beneficial cause, and I'd love to get that back up and running when I'm back home.
Yeah. Just come back now to this year to finish it off. You know, maybe let's say what do you feel the team needs to do to be successful in the top 16 then in Eurocup?
I think, you know, really playing each possession out. We've been able to build some leads and let some other teams back in the game, and I think, you know, once we build a lead or we're in a commanding position, to really control the tempo and you know, focus on our defense and getting good shots. So I think, you know, we've put ourselves in a good position in virtually every game, but we don't want to leave it up to the last kind of shot like we have, you know, our last 3 Euro Cup games. So being able to control, you know, the last 5 minutes and making smart decisions and learning from the close games we've already had, I think that's really going to help us in the second round.
All right, I'm going to let you go with that. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Dave. I appreciate it, mate.
All right. Good guy. You know, they unfortunately, they came to Munich and played in Munich and wasn't able to go. Would have liked to have said hi personally, but just couldn't get it done. But seems like a really nice guy. I did write up that feature on the EuroCupBasketball.com, so you want to go check it out. Go there, put his name in there, and you'll see that. Second interview is another great story. I was with Will Hanley, who is with Iberostar Tenerife. And his deal, if you will, is the only guy. I don't want to say that, but you know, definitely one of the very, 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 very few, if not only guy, to go from the D3 to the Spanish ACB in one season. Went to Bowdoin and D3 school in the States. And then went to from there to a LEB Silver, so a third division in Spain, team. His first season out of college, and ended the season with Valencia in the ACB. Now he's playing Champions League, like I said, for Iberostar Tenerife. This is his tale, if you will, from his own words, Will Hanley. With Iberostar Tenerife. So, again, we'll see you on the other side of that.
All right, so, Will Hanley, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I guess, first of all, just why don't we start with how you think your season's going so far. You're with Iberostar Tenerife in the Spanish First Division. Also play in the Basketball Champions League. Maybe in general, your thoughts about how your season's going so far?
Yeah, the season's going very well so far. This is my second year on the island in Tenerife in Spain. This year we're 7-2 now in the league in Spain and 3-2 in the Champions League. We just beat on Sunday. We just got a win against Fuenlabrada, and we're playing really well. We're playing pretty unselfishly, passing the ball really well, and I think a lot better than last season.
You guys have actually been probably one of the biggest surprises of the Liga Endesa ACB Spanish First Division. You look at teams behind you, you know, much bigger names, you know, Baskonia, Unicaja, Valencia, among others. You know, you talked about maybe the way you're playing, passing the ball, whatever. What do you think's been some of the key reasons why you guys are playing so well?
I think it's really we have a bunch of really good players who are very unselfish. Coming into this season, we signed some big name players. One, for example, would be Fran Vasquez. Mm-hmm. I think he really makes a difference on both sides of the ball. He brings a lot of veteran presence in there. He knows. He's been here before. He knows what to do. I think a lot of the returning guys have come together pretty well this season. And, again, everyone just being very unselfish, and it's fun to play with these guys.
One of the reasons I wanted to talk to you was I just think you have a great story. You know, there's not a lot of Division III guys playing in the upper levels of European basketball. I just figured kind of go through some of your crazy ride. So you started out, you went to like we said, Division III at, Bowdoin. Is that how you say it?
Yeah. Bowdoin College.
Bowdoin College in Maine.
Yep.
We're really one of the best players in the region for sure. You know, maybe talk about, because you know, a lot of these college players, if you know Division I guys, you know, they can look at alumni from their schools and say, all right, well, you know, this guy's playing in Turkey, this guy's playing in Germany, this guy's playing here or there. In general, there's not a lot of Division III guys continuing on in general, even, you know, you look at the first team, second team guys in the regions, you know, the all selection teams at the end of the year. So maybe when did you kind of start thinking, all right, I want to continue playing and then kind of just start from there. Where did, you know, how did you kind of go about, you know, when did you start thinking about continuing to play, and then where did you, how did you start that process?
Yeah, so I graduated in 2012, and then I really knew, I guess there were some guys before me who, from other teams in my league, who had gone over to Europe and played for a couple of years, and I always wanted to try something like that. I knew it would have to be a lower level team to start, and then hopefully work my way up. And then my first year, I was in the third league in Spain. My the agent I got with, Emilio Duran, really talked up Spain and how it was a really good basketball culture. All three leagues were very good, and if I did well in the third league, I could eventually get to the second league maybe.
He's actually from there, is that right, from Oviedo?
Yeah, he's from Oviedo.
Okay.
So that was the connection there. He got me on that team. I had a pretty good season that first year. Our team won the league, and I was the MVP of the league, actually. And I finished that year with Valencia in the first league. So I ended up not even having to go to the second league, which is pretty nice. And since then, I've been in the ACB the last 3 years, and this is my fourth year in the ACB, and it's been fun. I never thought it would. Maybe I'd go this high this fast, but it's been a good ride, and I'm really enjoying it.
I can't let you jump that fast. no, it's just too great of a story. You go to a third division, and there's a lot of guys that go to third division in Spain or second division, Italy, wherever. And then, you know, have to work their way up. Maybe just talk about that first year, that transition. Okay, that division in Spain, that third division, has a lot of young guys. It's a lot of teams, ACB teams, their farm teams sending their sort of second teams, youth teams. You were able to put up some pretty good numbers, almost 18 points, more than 11 rebounds a game. Maybe just talk about that first season, 12-13, and maybe how surprised you were that you were able to play as well as you were. Just in general, maybe talk about that transition.
Yeah, going in, you see guys go to the third league from pretty big time schools in the United States, and going in, I didn't really know where I was going to fit in. I did a tryout over the summer for like a week, and then I came back and they offered me a contract. And then I really didn't expect much, to be honest. I went in there hoping to play well, hoping to contribute to the team. And then one of our very good players, Willie Gallick, he played Pepperdine. And then he got injured, actually. So I eventually got to start, and I did pretty well, and then I guess my game just kind of translated. I would work hard, rebound, run the floor. We had a really good point guard that set me up pretty well, and everything just kind of clicked that first year, and it was great.
Now, how did you land then with Valencia? I know they had a couple injuries.
Yeah, so our team won the league, so we didn't have to do the playoffs. So I was free to leave in, I think it was the end of March, and then Valencia had a couple injuries, and then I think it was past the time where they could sign other ACB guys that had previously played or something, and then it just kind of worked out, and I signed a two-week deal to start, and then I ended up staying, I think, 6 weeks, 7 weeks.
And then the rest is history.
Yeah, right.
So basically, Gipuzkoa, they see you, first division team in the ACB. Yeah. They see you playing those last few weeks, for Valencia.
Yeah.
And then bring you over. Believe it was a 2-year deal, is that right?
It was a 1+1 deal.
1+1. Okay. So obviously, maybe talk about the jump in level. You were able to put up a little bit of good numbers there in that short run. Talk about the jump then to a full year in the ACB.
Yeah, I mean, that first the first game I played was against Barcelona in Barcelona, and then I think the most people I'd ever played in front of before that game was probably like 700 or 800. And then that game, I think, was probably 8,000. So it was a pretty big jump. And I mean, you just kind of go with it. You just kind of go with the flow and play your game. And then the first little bit was really exciting. And then to sign an ACB the next year was awesome. I really enjoyed that first year. And then each game I would get more comfortable and more comfortable. And then second year I did pretty well with the numbers-wise, and it's been a good run. Then I ended up signing Tenerife after that, and now it's my second year here.
Let's go back to that first season. You know, you're at Valencia then. You know, this is basically barely a year, you know, after you had finished at Boden. And now you're playing, you know, ACB, which, yeah, you know, a lot of guys in the tournament, NCAA, you know, first division in the tournament aren't going to be playing ACB. And here you are, a Division III guy. What's going through your mind at that point?
Yeah, it was pretty wild. I'll tell you what, I was pretty nervous for that first game. To be in Barcelona for that game, playing with Valencia, those are two big-time teams in Spain. I mean, it just kind of – It was kind of shocking how everything worked out and everything came together so well, and I was able to get the opportunity to be on that team and to play in that game and have a good little run with Valencia. It was awesome.
Put a pretty big nasty dunk on that first net.
I did. I let the all the adrenaline go, and I had a good dunk. I think that was my best dunk I've had in the ACB to date.
Maybe now, okay, so like you said, this is full year four. Maybe the most the biggest traits of being an ACB player, you know what I mean, you're not a superstar player, if you will, you know, you're a mid-level guy, you know, serving the role that the coach has for you. Just maybe in general, what it takes to be at that level.
Yeah, I think for me, just about finding your role. I'm a undersized four who originally really struggled with an outside shot, and I kind of just worked hard, and I would run the floor really hard, and every year, every game, get more comfortable with my the things I would need to improve on, like my outside shot. And then I think finding one thing that you're really good at and going with it. Mine is definitely running the floor and playing in transition, playing screens in transition, and I think just playing hard, the coach will find a spot for you if you can be a good team player and just accept your role.
Contract runs out to the end, runs to the end of this season then, right?
Yeah, end of this year.
End of this year. I mean, obviously you're having a great run. Do you have thoughts for the future? Are you just going to play this season out and see what happens after that?
Yeah, I think just hopefully finish this year pretty well and see what happens after that. And maybe I've been in Spain my whole career. Hopefully I get another opportunity in Spain, but I wouldn't mind moving outside of Spain and checking out some more parts of Europe.
You're from Connecticut.
Yeah.
You're out in the islands now. I suppose it's going to start getting cold in Connecticut if it hasn't already.
Yeah.
You know, I have a brother who lives on the west coast of the States and from Chicago originally, and you know, you always hear, oh, the weather's really nice. You know, you've already had a winter out in the islands, the Canary Islands. What's that like being out there? In general, everything, you know, because you're flying to every game.
Yeah.
But then also to come back home and you have the islands. How far are you from the beach? Tell us a little bit. Tell us a little bit about island life.
Yeah, I mean, Tenerife is definitely a great place to play. I think you can't really beat it, to be honest, in Europe. Other than it's a 3.5 or 3 hour plane ride to go to Madrid, and we connect there to other flights to go around the games. But other than that, it's pretty amazing. I'd say the lowest temperature it gets is probably like 15 degrees. I'm like a 5-minute drive from the beach. Last year I could see the water from my apartment. You can't really beat it. The weather's nice and great people. Spain's a great culture. I'm definitely happy here.
All right. So let's go back a little bit. You're from New Canaan. Is that right?
New Canaan, Connecticut.
New Canaan, Connecticut. Let's do a quiz.
Sure.
Are you ready for your new canon quiz?
Sure, let's do it.
Who or what are the Harvard Five?
The Harvard Five. I'm not sure.
A couple of design, five designers who went to Harvard and moved to New Canaan and designed, among other things, the glass house.
Yep, the glass house and all that.
So one of those was one of the Harvard five was Philip Johnson who designed the glass house.
Okay.
Who lived in New Canaan? Harry Connick Jr., David Letterman, Christopher Lloyd, Paul Simon, or Barry Williams, a.k.a. Greg Brady from the Brady Bunch, or F, all of the above?
All of the above, I believe.
Do you remember any of them? Have you seen any of them going around?
I remember I remember going trick-or-treating at David Letterman's house. He'd always give out the big candy bars.
Did you know that already?
Yeah, we would find that out and drive to his house.
Okay. Name one Hollywood film that was at least partially filmed.
I think there's one.
Canon.
Ice Storm?
Ice Storm, yeah. Yeah.
Go.
Good job. And New Canaan, I guess, is about an hour and a half drive from ESPN, from Bristol.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Did you go there at all? Did you see that?
No, I've actually never been up there. I'm more go down towards New York. New York's probably like an hour away.
Okay.
New York City.
More towards New York City then.
Yeah.
I saw on Twitter a bunch of Mets tweets.
Yeah, I'm a Mets fan.
Happy about how they're doing.
Yeah, I am. I think they're a good looking team. Hopefully next season I can get to some games and they can improve a little bit from this year.
Yeah, I'm a Cubs fan, so them.
Okay. Oh, congrats! big year.
Yeah, big year. Definitely, it's good to have this all this rubbish done with. I'm sick of hearing all this stuff, and
they could win five in a row.
They could. That's a pretty good team. And I mean, Mets with those young pitchers, if they can all stay healthy, might be interesting. Maybe talk about Bowden. You know, you're there. I know John Swartz was in the EBA last year.
Yeah.
Is he playing now? Right now, I don't see him.
He stopped playing. He wants to become a politician. I think. Okay. I think he's trying to become the president.
And Lucas Hausman is in the EBA right now as well.
Yeah, he actually got the same agent I did, and went to a city right near Oviedo.
Right. So is this going to be is this something that people should watch out for, that the Bowden guys are going to Spain?
I think it's maybe just my conference, the NESCAC conference. My agent likes to get low-level D3 guys and put them in the low leagues, and hopefully they pan out. I'm happy to be one of the first examples of it that actually worked.
I saw they got somebody else. Didn't they? He got
John DeBartolomeo.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's actually now over in Israel.
Yeah, Haifa.
Haifa, exactly. Haifa. Maybe talk about D3 guys. You know, we said, you know, there's not a lot of D3 guys out there. You know, looking through the year when you made the first team, the regional second team, second team. You know, there weren't a lot of guys that are, you know, A, still playing and B, at a higher level. You know, there was John in Israel. There's also Idris Lassizi in Belgium. Maybe talk about Division III guys in general. I mean, underrated basketball there or?
Yeah, I think you go to D3 school in the first place to try to get a good education and then also play basketball. I think it depends on what kind of opportunities you have coming out of high school. I think a lot of D3 players are very good players, but maybe they lack one trait. Maybe it's a lack of athleticism, maybe lack of jump shot, lack of speed, maybe they're a little shorter. But I think there's definitely guys in there who can keep playing and play at the next level. I know John DeBartolomeo was one of the best D3 college players, and I played with him in the summers, and that guy is as good as anybody. Depending, I guess, right out of high school, maybe he was smaller. I actually played him in high school too, so I know he was coming out of high school. He wasn't very big, and maybe he was overlooked by some bigger schools, and he found a good opportunity at Rochester, and there's definitely a lot of guys like that. And I think you, if you can find them, I think they could help a team because they have good attitudes and they're willing to work hard. They've proved that by going to a D3 school, and they're just, I don't know, yeah.
Do you you know, that carry the flag for the D3? I mean, do you feel like you do that too? I mean, it's like, you know, hey, I am one of these guys of that has come through that and through that dedication and everything else.
Yeah, I don't think I carry the flag, but I definitely have a feeling of pride that I was able to beat a lot of these Division I guys out, the guys who got full scholarships going to college, and I was able to keep playing basketball, and now I'm still playing basketball while a lot of guys who went to, I don't know, guys who went to big time ACC schools and Big Ten schools, they're not playing anymore, but here I am.
Saw your LinkedIn profile, and I got to ask about a couple of them skills that you dinosaurs.
I think some of my friends have been endorsing me.
Dinosaurs, trapeze, circus arts, zoology, archery, and winning DJ.
Yeah, just making sure I'm ready for life after basketball.
Any of those fit?
No, I don't think so.
You know, okay, so obviously, you know, playing in the Champions League this year, you're able to travel a little bit. Your first game was in Zagreb, you know, and you got to go to, you know, play at the Drazen Petrovic arena there, which obviously he was such a great player. Let's first start with that. What was that experience like for you? You know, how much do you, how much, not necessarily do you remember, but how much did you, were you aware of what Petrovic did and what was it like to be there at that arena?
Yeah, that experience was amazing. That was actually my first time not playing outside of Spain since I've been here. This is my first time playing in a European competition. And to be able to go to Drazen Petrovic Memorial Gymnasium and play that first game was awesome. I was really looking forward to that. I don't remember watching him play, but I've always heard all these European guys speaking incredibly highly of him. And I remember him being, I watched that 30 for 30 on ESPN, and him being such an influential European basketball player, and just being almost a legend. And to be able to play in that gym and see his statue, see his mother working at the store there, it was a great experience.
What it means to be going to Croatia, Bosnia, Lithuania, France, Belgium. You're a D3 guy. Four, five years ago, you were playing in Maine, and now you're going around Europe.
Oh, it's really cool. I talk to my dad about this all the time, and to think a couple of years ago, to think that now I'd be playing in the ACB and playing in a European competition, getting to go to all these countries. We're going to Italy tomorrow morning to play a game. It's really awesome. I'm really enjoying the opportunity, and just, I guess I'm proud of myself for making it this far and to continue improving and hopefully keep up this type of way, you know?
How high do you want to go? I mean, ACB, you know, a lot of people argue that ACB is the top domestic league outside of the NBA. You know, how high do you want to go?
Yeah, I mean, I think just as it goes, it goes. Just keep improving, hopefully, and see where I end up. At this point, maybe I'm not sure, honestly. I just want to keep winning this year and help the team and then see where my next opportunities come.
I do want to ask you about one other thing I saw. Saw that there's an Irish passport.
Yeah.
How's that come from?
My grandmother is from Ireland. So she came to the United States when she was 20. And then, so my mom got her passport and then I got my passport as I was graduating college.
Okay. Is there any thoughts to play for Ireland? I'm sure.
Yeah, I was talking to the Irish national team last year. They played in the FIBA Small Countries Tournament last summer.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And it just, I was going to play, but it just didn't make that much sense to be playing in that. And then hopefully in the future, I'm going to keep in touch with those guys and hopefully play for the Irish national team. That would be amazing.
What would that mean for you?
It'd be awesome to play for a country, to be one of the top top 12 guys in the whole country. I know I'm not from there, but to have my passport and to be chosen as one of those guys would be great.
Do you know if you would be considered a naturalized, or do you know what if that?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure. Okay. All right, man. I guess that's all I got. I just basically look forward to following you in the future. Good luck down the road, and keep let's say carry the flag. It's because if people see that a guy like you doing well in the going from the Division III, it leads that many more people to say, hey, well, at least it's an option to give it a go.
Yeah, happy to do it. Thank you very much for having me. It's been fun.
All right. Another good guy. Man, heck of a story. The D3 schools, it's really cool to see that these guys come and are able to, show that they can ball too, man. It's all a matter of chance in general in life. Sometimes you get the chance at the right time, sometimes you don't, and both of them, they took a big chance, and both of them have paid off. They're playing really well. Congratulations to Will Hanley. All success to him and Ben Manchin. Thank you for coming over to listen to the show this week. Once again, that was episode 229. The last thing obviously you need to know is what you're going to be listening to. The song is called On a Friday. So if you're listening to the song on a Friday, it's On a Friday. But the song's called On a Friday. It's from Baby Shakes. Get you rocking a little bit. The song's available on freemusicarchive.org. Go check it out. Go check out all the music over there. Obviously, loads of basketball. Enjoy it all. And we'll catch you next week.
This is Gorgui Jang with the Senegalese national team. I'm listening, Taking a Charge.